Scenario Development Services.
I think our next item on the agenda is the Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Project 7.
Yeah, so perhaps a good way to start this, I'll introduce Phil Mamie with BPS, who's going to talk to you briefly about it. And I guess for the sake of scale, since we're trying to figure out what the comp plan means relative to 2035 plan, what's this Recap 7 thing? Let me help you out a little bit. Portland Plan, 30,000 feet. Comprehensive Plan, 20,000 feet. Central City Plans, 10,000 feet. Recap 7 is on the ground. It's code changes. It's immediate. It's a minor changes to existing code. That's the scope and scale of it. It's not policy, typically not policy-based. And it's something that we do on our yearly or every other year basis to kind of just tweak and fix where the code's fallen short, where we see repeated circumstances coming up. And so I asked Phil, because they are going to the Plan Sustainability Commission next week to brief both commissions on the respective changes that are being considered for Recap 7. I think there will always be things you wish that were on Recap 7, but it is a limited scope project. And so Phil's going to briefly present what we're looking at moving into this next recap, which is Recap 7, for a little institutional memory. Recap 5 was when we had a lot of conversations about solar panels and in conservation districts and so on. So that's the kind of smaller scale features that these things kind of cover. So with that, any questions? I'll hand it over to Phil.
Thank you.
Afternoon, Phil Mamie with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And I'm actually here on behalf of Morgan Tracy, who will likely be the project manager for this package of this work plan. But I think Tim laid out pretty well the sort of the scope of how these things are set up. RECAP, which stands for Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Package, was something that's been around for several years and took a couple year hiatus when there were budget cuts and got reinstated with Recap 6 last year, which, although most people don't realize, did have 40 plus code amendments proposed for it. Of course, the ones related to short-term rentals is what generated all the press and all the testimony. But there were actually quite a few other mostly technical items. Those code amendments just went through the process with Planning Commission and City Council. And what we're working on now is essentially the work plan for Recap 7, which what that basically is, it's our roadmap for what we are going to work on for the next year. So it is not necessarily things that we have solutions for yet. It's just issues that in talking with BDS, and we have a database of hundreds of items that we consider. We work with BDS to come up with a potential sort of doable list of items to work on. And especially for Recap 7, I think in light of what happened with the short-term rentals and the fact that that kind of expanded, not to say blew up, but sort of created a little bit more of a media and testimony kind of frenzy than what we anticipate for these kind of packages. We are actually looking at, for Recap 7, scaling that back a little bit with some of the issues. I'd say 85% of the things we chose are much more along the lines of clarifying the code, a technical amendment, making one part of the code consistent with another part, and a few things then have some policy effect. But part of that is because we do know in our database we actually have a lot of other suggestions that are in there that we are looking at potentially having some staff work on as part of maybe a little larger scale project, because their recaps are intended to kind of get done on a yearly basis, if maybe a little bit over a year. But so that's what we're kind of looking at right now. There should have been a memo that you folks got. I got a few extra copies. If you didn't, I put a few copies in the back. It just sort of summarizes kind of what Tim and I just talked to you about. We are going to take the work plan to the Planning Sustainability Commission on August 26th for a 6 p.m. hearing. And Recap 7 is about 44. It's actually going to be a 45th item where there was another clarification we wanted to add on behalf of BDS. And what I kind of have here on the flip side of this memo is there's about three items that we felt have a direct relationship and or impact on the Historic Resource Code and potentially the Landmarks Commission. And they're split up. The first one in this item is one that may have a little bit of a policy impact, and the other two we feel are really more kind of a technical clarification. But all three of them potentially have importance. So I'm just going to go in order here real quickly. The first one there is LADS Edition Tree Planting Guidelines. That was something that was discussed during the tree code. There was a decision not necessarily to address those guidelines at the time of the tree code, but I believe the tree code itself had some provisions placed in there. One of the issues, of course, is that the guidelines have suggestions, very specific suggestions of trees at certain blocks, especially in the case of a Norway maple. The suggestions for a tree that is a nuisance tree that we are trying to discourage. In this case, what we're looking at is we're probably going to use this recap process as sort of the engine to bring forward a potential amendment. But we are working, Roberta Jortner with our group is working with some stakeholders in LADS Edition to come up with a potential proposal. And what we intend to do then is, if they are able to come up with a potential proposal, we will then provide it for recap 7 as we move forward with code amendments and or, you know, changes the design guidelines on that case.
Have they been slow to respond on that, Phil?
Well, I think there's a group that's been meeting. I have not heard that there's progress yet on actually coming up with a solution or a direction. As you can see, the kind of direction is could be alternate trees. The direction mm-hmm. could be something more as opposed to talking about a specific tree species, you know, coming up with something that is more of a tree characteristic. But yeah, we don't actually have a direction on that, and that's something that's probably going to get hammered out over the next 3 to 4 months.
Okay, yeah, because this one's come up here multiple times since I've been on the commission, and most recently with the coffee trees being planted in LADS Edition. So I know we have a contact from there if we need to reach out, but it sounds like they're just working on it. So
yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things we got, I believe, you know, the urban forester needs to get on board on this as well, as well. I think the neighborhood folks are ready to talk. We're just not sure if we're going to reach a medium, happy medium or not.
Okay.
So the other two items in here are what we would consider, you know, technical fixes and or clarifications. The first one, actually, I really did not know much about. It was something that was entered in our database a few years ago, actually. But I think it's a case that's still kind of live. What it is basically there are some situations where people can avoid getting a building permit and go through what's known as the structural minor label program through the state. I know personally I had that experience when we replaced our water heater, and you know, you get a little sticker and so on. Now sometimes that program can apply to things like window replacements and so on. And the issue that came up was for in a historic district, they went through that process to replace windows. And the intent of this is to clarify, I think the cities are the position that if you're making an exterior alteration like that and it's a landmark or contributing structure to a historic district, that you should still go through the appropriate land use review. It's just there was a lot of attorney discussion between those. And so the intent is to clarify what I think our policy has become. I mean, there was some confusion even about what our mm-hmm. process was on that. So that's that item. Just to mention real quickly, too, the items there on the left, that column, which is item 7, item 25, 36, we have, you know, like I said, there's about 44, 45 items. We have this on our website. And so those items, that's item 25, that's okay. In our little table there. The last one I just wanted to mention is for historic review when you're in the central city. There's obviously a lot of different guidelines, whether central city fundamental guidelines, as well as the specific design district guidelines. And, you know, there's oftentimes then specific conservation or historic district guidelines that have to be followed. The thing that has come up is if it's a something that's needing to go through historic review, but there isn't actually, and it's in the central city, but it doesn't have specific guidelines. I believe our code isn't real clear about pointing the person to the standard guidelines in the historic review approval chapter. So once again, this is just a clarification to kind of point people to, not only do they have to do all the design guidelines that are in the central city, but they have to go to the general historic guidelines. So that's all I have to talk about on this. As you know, what we anticipate is, provided Planning Sustainability Commission vote to have us work on this work plan, our anticipation is we would start working on this, work with achieving solutions, and then bring those back to you, probably in a more detailed briefing, sometime early 2015.
Okay. And quick question I have. So we've been talking a lot with City Council about the demolition issue, and I think there might be some code tweaks coming on that. Would that be part of this package, or would that just be a standalone, or how would that work?
Well, it's not clear whether that would be, you know, I think they're still working out what would be a building code change, what would be a, you know, Title 24, what would be a zoning change. There are several things that have been kind of bubbling around. And I think the idea is those may end up being a standalone project or something else that the mayor's office, say, mm-hmm. proposes. Another example is with the short-term rentals piece, you know, what we proposed and what we had go through was allowing it in houses and duplexes, you know, as part of a, you know, one or two bedrooms that somebody else was living in there. You know, the mayor's office is moving forward with looking at those in apartments. That's not part of Recap 7. That's something that, you know, they're going to move forward on, as well as if they want to do anything with vacation rentals. So I think this would probably fall along the same lines. There are, you know, as partially some of the kind of implementation strategies that are looking out at the comp plan update as well. I mean, there's a lot of discussion about just in general looking at our single family development standards, because I think, say, with demolitions, I mean, people probably are worried about losing resources, but I think if in a lot of those cases, if those resources were turning into a community garden, there probably wouldn't be as big of an outcry in a lot of cases. And so I think a lot of the issue is what's getting put there in its place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is possible that there could be a larger scale project that kind of morphs out of that, which is looking at demolitions, looking at the scale and development of the new housing stock and things like that. And there's some talk about, you know, having us work on development standards for multi-dwelling development as well. But I think a lot of those are going to have to come out of what we come out, you know, what comes out of the comp plan in terms of a policy.
Is there any advantage to being included on the Recap 7 as part of that versus a standalone project? Can it move quicker possibly if it's not tied to this, or does it make it harder, do you think?
It could move quicker. The issue with the regulatory improvement process is we don't really have, it's not set up to, you know, establish stakeholder groups and have sort of a study and create a white paper. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the things on our Recap 7 piece is actually to work on just a white paper about how we measure height and how other jurisdictions do it so that it can inform some future project. But the issue with kind of, even with the short-term rentals, what we kind of ran against was people saying, you know, you didn't do enough outreach. You didn't, you know, create an interest group to talk about things. And I think something like the demolition piece would really benefit from having a collection of neighborhood groups, mm-hmm. builders, and as well as the fact that, you know, BDS is currently working with DRAC, mm-hmm. to create potentially some procedural changes. And, you know, all that would work better, I think, if you had kind of a group to bounce ideas off and so on, which the Recap isn't right now set up to do.
Okay. Any other questions? Thanks for coming, Phil.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
I'll be back in a few months.